You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
Welcome in. It is the Gym Class here at KGYM on this Thursday, August the 5th. Hey, you may have had to Google it, look it up. That was actually rain falling earlier on today. Did you see the rain, Ben? That was, you didn't see it? Oh my gosh, I woke up to it. I almost did a sort of a happy dance looking outside the window today. That was actual rain falling on eastern Iowa. May get some more. In fact, now, of course, the forecast looks like rain for the next handful of days. So that's kind of the way it goes in our neck of the woods. Great to have you aboard. We are presented by DuPaco Community Credit Union here on KGYM. Big thanks to DuPaco. You can find out more by going to their website at dupaco.com. Learn how you can boost your financial well-being by going there. They are the presenting sponsor of the Gym Class each and every day right here on KGYM. Great show coming up for you. Adam Rittenberg will join us from ESPN.com as we will talk college football with Adam. We'll talk about the realignment, what's in the offing as far as realignment is concerned, Big 10, Big 12, everything under the sun. We'll do that, except for watch lists. We probably will not hit watch lists today. So we will talk about that. News from the Olympics, other news for you on this Thursday edition of the show. You're listening in on 1600 AM, 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, the KGYM radio stream, your KGYM mobile app, and your smart speaker as well. And as always, we thank you for tuning in. Scott Udash with you. Ben on the other side of the glass. We bring in Mark Dukes from the southwest side of Cedar Rapids on this cloudy and a little bit cool. Well, it is cool. Early August, Thursday afternoon. That was rain, Mark.
It certainly was a wet pavement when I woke up, and it was kind of a welcome sight. We do need more, but we don't need it interrupting events that are near and dear to our hearts, right?
Yeah, indeed. Indeed. And they got one of those events in today. The annual Pribble Rotary. Well, I don't know if the Rotary has anything still is one of the backers of that. It's the Pribble Tournament, which is kind of the city am for the high school set, if you will, and middle school set. And it's great prelude to the start of the high school golf season as far as Class 4A is concerned. And fourth and final round today at the Elmcrest Country Club. Congratulations to Washington's Niall Peterson. He was your winner. He had a 76 today at Elmcrest and a 292 total, won by 5 shots over Xavier's Charlie Allen, who fired a 73 today. Reed Hall of Kennedy with a 73 today. He finished in third with a 299. On the girls' side, Addie Berg of Prairie was your winner. Of course, the girls, they play still spring golf as far as the state of Iowa is concerned. But it's always, I remember playing in the Pribble, as a matter of fact, way back in the day, Mark. And it's a big deal to those youngsters.
Well, it is. And yeah, I played in it in the novice division and the open division. And this tournament has been going on a long time. A lot of terrific players, not including me, have competed. It was just a wonderful thing that you got to play 4 courses in 4 days. Well, if you made the cut, I guess there was a cut back when I was playing. But it was just a lot of fun. Met a lot of players that I competed against in high school. And then later on in some scramble along the way, I don't know. But it was a good tournament, and it continues to be.
It was. And, yeah, that's awesome to have that still up and going. And thanks to Denny Gettle, our friend Denny Gettle, for those results right there. We have a couple giveaways today. We will have our final 4-pack of tickets to the Verizon 200 at the Brickyard coming up on Sunday, August the 15th. And we will have that giveaway for you. We got another trivia question for you today. I think it's another one you might be able... You got yesterday's, Mark, so congratulations to you on that.
Yeah, Jeff Gordon having won the most events at the Brickyard, and it was a wild guess, but I got it. We'll see about today.
Yeah, well, it's a little bit tougher question today, but it's still one I think that you will be able to, we'll see. We'll see. I'm 50-50 on you today for it. So we will have that, and we will also play Last Pair Standing today for the two remaining shows that we have grandstand tickets for, which are the Beach Boys with Hanson and John Stamos and the Doobie Brothers 50th Anniversary Tour concert. The Doobie Brothers will be on Sunday, the 22nd of August, and the Beach Boys on Tuesday, August the 17th. And we've got a pair of tickets to both of those shows. Now we have one pair remaining for the Doobie Brothers and three pair remaining for the Beach Boys. Of course, we'll have your opportunity to win next. Todd Brommelkamp and Alex Kuhn will have another opportunity coming up later on. But if you do the math, if our winner, Mark, takes the Doobie Brothers, then the last pair standing is going to be the Beach Boys, Hanson, and John Stamos. It's as simple as that.
Well, it's not a bad consolation prize.
No.
Should that occur, I mean, who cares? You can stop in at the 4-H Lamb show and get a corn dog along the way. It'll be great fun.
True. Yeah, and hey, who doesn't want to see the Beach Boys? They're legends as far as music, rock and roll, what have you, are concerned. 319-366-1600. So we'll have that opportunity for you as well coming up in just a little bit before 4 o'clock, as we mentioned here today. And yeah, we've got a lot of Olympic news out there. We've got football tonight, Mark. Ready or not, the NFL getting started with the preseason action in Canton, Ohio, as it'll be the annual Hall of Fame game, the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Dallas Cowboys. You think there are going to be a lot of ears listening in here on KGYM and a lot of eyeballs on that particular game with those particular teams as far as the country is concerned? 6:30 tonight for you. We've got it on three of our four frequencies, 1600 AM, 102.3 FM, as well as 106.3 FM in Iowa City. Rudolph is going to start. Roethlisberger will not play. We know that for sure. Anybody that is probably iffy as far as health, you're not going to see them tonight. But you're going to see football, and you're going to hear football. And that is refreshing to have and around the corner.
Certainly not as many eyes and ears as if it would be a regular season game. But I'll probably dip in for a little bit and check some of the backups out. You're not going to see Dak Prescott. Most likely, Zeke, CeeDee Lamb, among others. But it is football. Some of these guys, obviously, fighting for roster spots. And, you know, oftentimes, guys emerge from a game like this. But, you know, it's basically a matchup of reserves.
Yeah, but it's still fun to watch.
Sure.
It's still fun to take in as far as football is concerned. So we've got that coming your way tonight. If you're a baseball fan, we've got the Twins and the Astros, I believe. Is that correct tonight, Mark, at 6:30?
That is correct. 6:30 pregame on 107.5 FM. The NFL game will be on our other frequencies.
There you go. So the Jim OT, 107.5 FM tonight. Jax against Valdez for the Astros coming up this evening. 319-366-1600 here on the Jim Class. That is our text line available to you always. Phone line available to you as well at 319-366-1600. I think we all made this mistake as we turn toward the Olympics here, Mark. We may have all made the mistake of prematurely counting out the United States men's basketball team. They have not won the gold as of yet, but they came from behind to beat Australia. And the Americans are now going to move on to the gold medal game where they will take on France. And that coming up, believe, what, tomorrow or the next day? One of those 2 days anyway, but like I said, we may have underestimated the American team. Maybe they just needed to get a little rest, get a little cohesiveness underneath them. I don't know, but a good double-digit win today coming from behind against a pretty good Australian team.
Yeah, Kevin Durant has been very big. Popovich has melded this team. Some suspected that this is going to be a team that would struggle. And it really hasn't all that much. U.S. was down 15 early in this game, but then went on like something like a 45-14 run and ended up winning by 19. And France actually got a one-point victory over Slovenia. Very talented Slovenia team. But the U.S., I think, Japanese time, that game is on Saturday, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay. The United States baseball team is also in the gold medal game. They dispatched the South Koreans, the defending champions, and the Americans will move on to the gold medal game. So that's good to see as well as far as U.S. baseball is concerned.
Yeah, the U.S. Coached by Mike Socha, winning 7-2 today over South Korea, and we'll have a very tough matchup against Japan.
Yeah. Local angle to it. We've got a local Olympic medalist. Probably not the one that Thomas Gilman wanted to get the medal color, but it is still a medal nonetheless. As we learned from the United States women's gymnastics team, you win medals, and he won a bronze medal earlier on, I guess, today or last night or whatever the time placement was as far as Japan is concerned. But Gilman is an Olympic medalist.
And he was very excited about it. He lost his opener against the Russian world champion. Really a heartbreaking loss for Gilman in that one, losing in the last 10 seconds. But the Russian went on to advance to the gold medal match, giving Gilman a chance to win a couple matches and win that bronze. And he becomes the 10th former Hawkeye to win an Olympic medal. And the first, really, since 2000, when Lincoln McIlravey and Terry Brands each won bronze. So, really great accomplishment for Gilman to win a bronze there.
Not bad at all. Like I said, there is nothing wrong with winning a bronze medal, and that is exactly what he did. So, congratulations to Mr. Gilman out there, and I imagine that's not going to be... we're going to see him and I think some more Hawkeyes and ex-Hawkeyes coming up when the Olympics roll around again in 3 years in 2024. No doubt about that. How about, speaking of the Olympics, before we leave that, how about Nelly Korda today, the world number one, the American, a 62 today on the golf course in just blistering hot conditions outside of Tokyo. And right now she has, what, a four-shot lead going into round three, I believe.
Yeah, it has been extremely hot the last couple days in Tokyo. Lexi Thompson's caddy couldn't finish because of the heat. Other players experiencing some forms of heat exhaustion. But I guess the forecast for the third and fourth rounds is not very good. And there's been talk about shortening this event to 54 holes. Many are not in favor of that. But it must be completed, the tournament, however they... if there's a delay, it must be completed by the start of the closing ceremonies.
Or it doesn't count.
You can't go into next week.
No, no one's staying extra. I don't think that is the case right there. PGA Tour, they are back. It's a big one. World Golf Championship, the FedEx St. Jude Invitational going on in Memphis at TPC Southwind. Very good golf course down there. And everybody pretty much that was at the Olympics, all the big names back. They are in Memphis and ready to go. Bryson DeChambeau, fresh off of his COVID situation with a 500 par 65 today. But the leader right now is Harris English. He is at 700 par with a couple holes remaining.
Yeah, I'm amazed at these guys that competed in the Olympics and four really tough days. It was hot over there for the men's tournament. And really tough competition. Xander Schauffele winning a gold. Colin Morikawa nearly winning a bronze. But they are here. Hideki Matsuyama is at Memphis. It's a World Golf Championship event, which means it's a small field, no cut, 66 players. But once again, I'm amazed that these guys competed in the Olympics, made the travel. back to America and are competing in this event. So hats off to them.
Yeah. 64-29, by the way, before we leave the Olympics, shout out to Kenny Bednarik from Indian Hills Community College on the silver and the 200. Absolutely. Absolutely. And talking about football tonight, 96-63, I want to see Najee Harris because I heard Pittsburgh is going back to running more than passing this year, just like the old days for the Steel Curtain. See, there's always something to watch, even in a first early August NFL preseason game.
Well, Najee Harris back there, why not go back to the running game? That's a really nice player. Not sure how much he'll play tonight or carry the ball, but that's a good get for Pittsburgh.
No doubt. No doubt about that. 319-366-1600 as we come your way on the gym class on KGYM. And not all the news great today, however. Lost someone in the baseball world today. Probably not as big a name as this player would have been if it wasn't for a fateful day back, it's been 41 years ago, back in 1980. But back in the late 70s, Mark, and we were talking about this today, there wasn't much more of an intimidating pitcher that you needed, that you had to face if you were a major leaguer, than J.R. Richard, James Rodney Richard of the Houston Astros, who absolutely threw gas and was very, very good. All-star in 1980 and just was a terrific, terrific player with those Astros when they played in the Astrodome and with the multicolored uniforms and things like that. But J.R. Richard died today. I believe he was 71. Like I said, he had his major league career cut short by a stroke back in 1980. Actually tried to come back in 1981, but it did not go as planned and eventually got out of baseball. Ended up, actually was homeless back in the 90s. Ended up being a minister and, before his untimely passing today. But like I said, when you talk about pitchers of the late 70s and 1980 when he was an all-star, there weren't a whole lot better than James Rodney Richard.
No, and you're quite right. He was one of the dominant pitchers, if not the dominant pitcher, in the late 1970s, and 3.15 ERA over 10 seasons. Not many players can boast of that. Had back-to-back 300 strikeout seasons. In 1980, Scott, the Astros won the division, and the staff included J.R. Richard, Nolan Ryan, Joe Niekro, and Ken Forsh. Forsh, a former Cedar Rapids minor leaguer. But that was a formidable staff, and it did lose to the Phillies in the National Championship, National League Championship Series. But he was tremendous, and as you said, a checkered background after that, becoming homeless, broke, entered a couple bad business deals, twice divorced, but did become a minister and landed on his feet, so to speak. But this is a guy that also had reportedly over 200 college basketball scholarship offers, Scott.
Yeah,
I haven't looked into his basketball background, but at 6'8", you would think the guy may be able to play a little bit.
Yeah, no doubt about it. No doubt about it. And just, like I said, wasn't a more, Nolan Ryan and J.R. Richard back-to-back facing the Houston Astros, good luck.
Yeah.
Good luck, especially if you were a right-handed batter.
I don't know if you could call J.R. Richard the right-handed Randy Johnson in terms of intimidation, but this guy led the league in wild pitches often, walked a lot of people, so he wasn't exactly around the strike zone all the time, and you had to beware. He got a 98 sizzler coming at your head. That's not fun.
And that's one not many people threw 98.
No.
Back then, there were about just a handful of pitchers who would throw mid to upper 90s, and J.R. Richard was chief among them. And the Astrodome was just a cavernous ballpark. Very tough to hit home runs. So, I mean, even if you make contact, more often than not, it was a fly ball or a deep fly ball that stayed in the ballpark. Usually going out to, Terry Poole, Jose Cruz, and the rest of the guys in the outfield for the Houston Astros.
Exactly.
Terry Swimming Pool, by the way. Always enjoyed that. Oh, Jose, let me take you on a sea cruise. Look at me. I'm Bermanizing here today.
Chris, thank you.
Yeah, no doubt. 325 here on the Thursday edition of the Gym Class here on KGYM. Going to give you a chance. We got last pair standing, and we've got the four-pack of tickets to the Verizon 200 at the Brickyard coming up here in just a little bit before 4 o'clock. But we do have some Major League Baseball this afternoon and other news, and we want to get to that, and we will do so with an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard, and it's brought to you by Emil's Hideaway. They're located on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, right across from the Lindale Mall and behind the Taco John's. And what's happening in the sports world this afternoon?
Yeah, about a half a dozen afternoon baseball games going on or completed at this point. The Detroit Tigers in the ninth inning leading Boston 8-1. Boston on kind of a slide, Scott.
Yeah.
The LA Angels leading Texas 5-0 in the seventh inning. The Cubs find themselves trailing at Colorado 4-0 in the top of the fifth. Arizona, of all teams, leading San Francisco 2-0 at this point. Washington and Philadelphia scoreless in the second. One final, the Miami Marlins have defeated the New York Mets 4-2, and a really tough day for former Cub Javi Baez, 0-5 with 5 strikeouts.
That's the that is not the golden sombrero.
It's something greater than that, isn't it?
That is, that's beyond that baseball term, if you're not sure what the heck we're talking about right there. But that does not occur very often. But Mets are also not scoring runs. Not sure what's going on right there. All right, Mark, thank you very much. And we're going to go ahead.
You're welcome.
Okay. We're going to talk to Adam Rittenberg from ESPN.com. We'll do that here in just a little bit. But first, we're going to give you an opportunity to play Last Pair Standing here this afternoon. And if you have been with us, you know exactly how it goes. We've got a pair of tickets to two remaining grandstand attractions at the Iowa State Fair. You can find out more by going to iowastatefair.org, by the way. And we've got tickets remaining for the Doobie Brothers 50th Anniversary Tour or the Beach Boys with Hanson and special guest John Stamos at the Iowa State Fair. Caller 6, you are going to get your choice of one of those two shows. 319-366-1600. That's 319-366-1600. If you've been a winner over the last 30 days, please do not call in. Otherwise, you're eligible. And we will let you know who our winner is and which show they chose after this.
As summer heats up, so does the sports betting action at BetMGM. Sign up now using bonus code HANSON, H-A-N-S-O-N, and your first wager is totally risk-free up to $600. Place your bets on all the exciting showdowns in MLB, MLS, and more sports from around the globe. When you register with BetMGM, you'll also get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, player props, and daily boosted odds specials on big games. From breathtaking goals to colossal home runs, the King of Sportsbooks takes every play to a new level of excitement. Simply download the BetMGM app today or go to BetMGM.com and enter bonus code HANSON, HANSON with an O, to get back up to $600 on your very first wager. With BetMGM, you're just a few taps away from turning game time into showtime. New customer offer paid in free bets. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older. Iowa only. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
Lower your home's energy costs with Owens Corning Panel Insulation and get 11% off everything now at Menards. Foamular panel insulation seals buildings from air and moisture and is perfect for basement walls or below a new garage floor. Right now, save 11% on all Owens Corning Panel Insulation. Get 11% off everything now at Menards. Good through August 7th. Savings are mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
already, congratulations to John from Iowa City, as he was our winner in today's Gym Class edition of Last Pair Standing. And John chose the Beach Boys with Hanson and John Stamos. So we have two pair of tickets remaining to the Beach Boys, one pair of tickets remaining to the Doobie Brothers 50th Anniversary Tour Concert. Your next chance to win between 4 and 6 with the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn.
Skilled trade workers are the backbone of every community and also the Army National Guard. Soldiers train to keep the power flowing, engines running, and in every other trade needed to accomplish the mission. These soldiers are on the fast track to learning skills that can set them up for success at home with companies looking to hire the best. Their resumes are being built through their paid training and part-time service. Find out how you too can learn a trade profession by visiting NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Iowa Army National Guard. Aired by the Iowa Broadcasters Association and this station.
Tune into the Gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp and Alex Kuhn for Drive Time, driven by Linder Tire.
I've got some fame.
Chris Young, Famous Friends Tour 2021.
I'm coming over, running every race.
Friday, November 19th at the Extreme Arena with special guest Mitchell Tenpenny. Calista Clark. Tickets on sale Friday morning at 10 at the Venue Box Office and ExtremeArena.com. Chris Young.
I was raised on world, raised on
Friday, November 19th at the Extreme Arena. Produced by Pepper Entertainment and Outback Presents.
I was raised on country.
Back with you in the Gym Class on KGYM. Thank you very much for joining us. And as you just heard, Chris Young coming with his Famous Friends Tour on November the 19th to the Extreme Arena in Coralville. And listen to KGYM all this week. We've got one more chance for you to listen in during the noon hour for your chance to win tickets before you can buy them. When you hear that special code word during the noon hour, make sure to text in to 366-1600 for your chance to win a pair of tickets to the show. So good luck with that. We've got tickets to see the Verizon 200 at the Brickyard coming up for you. And we will have that before 4 o'clock today. 319-366-1600. That is our text line available to you. As Scott, Mark, and Ben take you through the 3 o'clock hour here on this Thursday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM. Always happy to bring on our next guest from ESPN.com. Does a great job with all the fun-filled storylines as far as college football is concerned. And that is Adam Rittenberg joining us here on this Thursday. And, man, I wish there was something we could talk about, Adam.
Yeah, that's another nice quiet summer. But, you know, camp is opening, so we could just forget realignment and just talk football. But I'm sure you guys have some questions about everything that's gone on here the last 6 weeks or so.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Well, let's start there, obviously. And we have heard rumblings now that there have been talks even going 2 years back between Oklahoma, Texas, and the Southeastern Conference, whether it's the SEC reaching out. I think it was probably more of Oklahoma. Well, more of Texas, and then the Texas said, hey, Oklahoma, I got something for you here. But is that kind of how this all started? And I guess, is this just the tip of the iceberg?
Right. Well, I think, you know, there were some leadership changes as far as presidents that you know, changed over, at least at Texas. You know, I think these conversations, you know, these people are all in the same circles to a degree. So there's always, I think, some degree of conversation. Now, are they formal conversations? Are they serious conversations? You know, I do believe that those, you know, really only heated up in the last, you know, six to eight months, you know, coming off the pandemic, which obviously had financial impact around the sport. You had NIL that was coming, this great unknown of NIL. You had some legal rulings, the Alston case, a lot of people have cited. So, you know, again, I think this all sort of set up a time of transition and a time of thinking ahead. And that's what, you know, commissioners will always say their jobs are, is to project, you know, 3 to 5 to 10 years down the line. And so I think that's when this really enhanced. And again, my belief is that they did not want it to come out right now. But obviously it did leak around that, you know, the end of SEC Media Days, leaked on the A&M side of things. And here we go. It's obviously fast tracked to a point where those teams are already committed members of the SEC. And now it's just a matter of when they join the league and what happens elsewhere around the sport.
Yeah, Adam, in your mind, what do you think the options are now for the Big 12, Bob Bowlesby, perhaps individual schools. It's down to eight, at least it will be, in a minimum of 5 years. And what does it mean for conferences like the Big 10, Pac-12, AAC, and so on?
Yeah, you know, Mark, I think the Big 12 certainly wants to try to keep things as united as possible. But, I mean, again, we're in an environment where, you know, a league can say that, but individual schools are going to do what they want to do. And I think there's some you know, some hope that certain schools can leave the Big 12 and join up with a more stable conference, whether that's West Virginia and the ACC or some, you know, one of the other existing members and the Big 10 or the Pac-12. How realistic that all is, I think, is going to be interesting to see, because none of the remaining schools in the Big 12 are major brand additions. They're not major value additions when you're talking about, you know, television inventory or inventory to sell to a new media rights partner as far as schedule. If they were, Texas and Oklahoma probably aren't leaving the Big 12. So that's just the reality, is that, you know, there, I think there certainly will be attempts to try to leave the league, but whether those actually happen or not remains to be seen. And then the strategy from Bob Bowlesby and the Big 12 will be interesting to see. You know, they look at partnering with a league like the Pac-12. Do they look to expand and try to add members from the American? You know, they had several members from that conference that were under consideration back in 2016. They decided not to expand, and obviously things have changed now, you know, being down to eight members. So I think they have to do something. I think of those four other Power Five conferences, if I had to rank the urgency to do something, it's probably Big 12, Pac-12, ACC, and the Big 10 is the least urgent because they're already making money. I don't think there's anything out there other than maybe Notre Dame that's an obvious value add for the Big 10. And they're already going to be doing their media rights agreement in a couple of years. So they're going to be cashing in very soon, even more so than they already are.
Yeah. By the way, Greg Sankey getting a contract extension, which you reported earlier on today as the SEC commissioner. And insert your own your own comment right there. Percentages, Adam, that Iowa State would end up in the Big Ten?
I have it as a very low percentage. It's not a knock against Iowa State. It's a great school. They're an AAU member, which matters to the Big Ten president. They have improved their football product significantly. But, you know, again, this is about inventory. This is about what you can offer in terms of matchups for, you know, your future media contracts. And what does Iowa State offer that you don't already have? What does Kansas offer that you don't already have? What is even unrealistic additions for the Big Ten, like Oklahoma State or Baylor. Like, what are they offering that you don't already have, and you're still having to divide up your revenue with that new member eventually to a full share? So, I don't see the value of it. It doesn't mean it won't happen. I think Iowa State's a great program. I think they've got great fans, but they're not a major market. They're not in a market the Big Ten doesn't already have a foot in, you know, already having Iowa and Nebraska in the conference. So I think it's a really tough sell. Now, I know the Big Ten presidents are not going to listen to a lot of pitches as far as expansion candidates. And there are some things in Iowa State's favor that, you know, aren't there for some of the other available schools. I just don't think it'll be enough.
Adam, I know you were on a different program, which I caught, and you talk about the possibility of dividing teams into different tiers. What do you have in that regard?
Well, that's the thing. There's a sense, Mark, that this is just the first step towards either a four super conference set up in the sport, which we've heard for a long time, that would ultimately break away from the NCAA and kind of do its own thing. Or if the ultimate goal is to have essentially a super league, you know, like the NFL with the, you know, the 30 or 32 or 40, I don't know what the number will be, you know, programs that are at the very top of the sport, they have the most money, they can compete at the top level year in and year out. And if that's the case, then it gets really interesting because, you know, all of us know that there's some current Power Five teams in really good conferences that wouldn't be part of that top tier. So who gets in? What's the dividing line? And then what happens to the rest? What happens to the middle class? so to speak, of college football. I mean, I don't like this, guys, because you look at last year, Northwestern plays in the Big Ten championship, second time in 3 years. Iowa State plays in the Big 12 championship and has a great chance to get back there again. Like, that doesn't happen if this tier system is set up. So I think it'll be very interesting to see where it goes. Does it go 4 super conferences? Does it go to, you know, a super league and then, you know, tiers below it, whether it's remaining Power 5 or a mix of Power 5 and Group of 5? And then what happens to the bottom of the Power 5? Do they go down to the FCS or do they stay in some, you know, league of their own or tier of their own? So that's all the uncertainty here that's going to go on as this unfolds in the next, you know, 3 to 5 years.
Interesting, interesting. Adam Rittenberg joining us, senior college football writer for ESPN. And well, let's get to actual football. How about that? Yeah, you mentioned that camps are just about ready to get underway. Media days are coming up individually. The conference media days have already occurred, taken place. Let's start in Iowa City for Kirk Ferentz and the Hawkeyes. Most people are thinking Wisconsin, Iowa, probably in that order. Spencer Petras got to be better this year, I think, for Iowa to make that jump up to number one. Is he the big puzzle piece in your mind as far as the Hawkeyes are concerned?
Absolutely, because I don't see really other weaknesses on the team. I think they're going to be, you know, strong on both lines, especially on the offensive line. I think they're going to be able to run the ball well. You know, they have a really good tight end. I like what they have coming back in the secondary on defense. And, you know, it's interesting how people have sort of defaulted back to Wisconsin. Now, historically, that makes a lot of sense, guys, because since the Big Ten started its championship game in 2011, Wisconsin's never gone 2 years without appearing in it, whether it was in the Leaders Division or the West Division. But, you know, Wisconsin doesn't have a lead back, that at least one that I can see yet, and that's always a bit of a concern. I'm not blown away by their receivers. You know, they're counting on a better year, or at least a rebound year, from Graham Mertz, who started off really well at quarterback and then, you know, had COVID and fell off sharply. And then, you know, defensively they'll be fine. You know they will be with Jim Leonard as the coordinator. So you're two very similar teams, but it probably comes down to which quarterback performs better, whether it's Petras or Mertz. And in some ways, I like the supporting cast Iowa has around its quarterback a little bit more than what Wisconsin has, because you have Tyler Goodson, you have Laporta, you have a good receiving core, you have an elite offensive lineman at center. So, you know, I think there's a lot to like with the Hawkeyes. Again, I picked the Hawkeyes to win this division now for a long time every year, and obviously haven't been right in a while. And so we'll see if that changes this year.
A lot of folks talking about Iowa's first two games, Adam, home against Indiana and then at Iowa State on September 11th. For each of those three clubs, how important it is for Iowa to, say, win one or two of those, for Iowa State to survive that September 11th game, for Indiana to get off to a strong start and perhaps beat Iowa and Iowa City?
Yeah, and Indiana has Cincinnati, I think, on the 18th. So, you know, all three teams have tough games to kind of begin the year. And I really think for Iowa, you know, playing at home, especially, you know, knowing that you're going to go to Ames, you know, knowing that you're going to go to a team that you've had their number, but they feel like they're better than you, and on paper they are, in Iowa State. And so I think it's absolutely critical that the Hawkeyes find a way to go 1-0. And now it's going to be tough. Indiana's really talented. Tom Allen's done a great job of building up the depth on both sides of the ball. They brought in some really good transfers. They have some excellent players that are just returning. They're Tywan Mullen, Micah McFadden on defense, Ty Freifogel, and then Michael Penix Jr., the quarterback, who's healthy, at least for now, and hopefully he'll stay healthy finally for a full season. How that's going to impact Indiana. But, you know, again, Iowa, you don't want to call the first game a must-win, but you know, given what they have coming up after that, I think it's such an important game for them to get off to a good start. And then for Iowa State, you know, they have to beat Iowa. I mean, that they've literally done almost, you know, everything else that they could do save for winning a Big 12 title and beating Iowa in Matt Campbell's career. And so it just puts so much more emphasis, because, you know, you guys watched the game. I was there a couple of years ago. I think we all spent about 17 hours at that stadium, and Iowa State should have won the game, and Iowa found a way to win it. And so, you know, credit to Iowa. You know, it felt like you know, for a little while, Iowa State had Iowa's number, and now it's the other way around. So I cannot wait for that week two matchup. I know there's games like Oregon and Ohio State and other places. You know, Washington's at Michigan that weekend, but you know, the game I want to be at is Iowa State. I think it's going to be awesome in week two.
I would agree. Jeff Brohm at Purdue, PJ Fleck at Minnesota, or we'll even throw Scott Frost at Nebraska in there. Who has the most pressure on them this year in the Big Ten West?
Oh, I think it's Scott Frost. I mean, I think PJ Fleck is still in pretty good shape. You know, they're only 2 years removed from a historic season. They've recruited well. You know, they've had some key players opt out. I like what they have coming back on both lines. I caught up briefly with PJ this morning about one of his defensive linemen, Boye Mafe, who he thinks is going to be a breakout player for them at defensive end this year. And so, yeah, I mean, I think both Frost and Brohm are under increased pressure, but especially Frost, because, you know, he still hasn't had a winning season, still hasn't made a bowl game. You know, there's just a real concern whether Nebraska will ever get it right. And as the three of us have discussed before, you know, the problem in this division is that if you don't have an identity and you're not consistent, And you need one of those top three to fall off, and I think it's really tough to expect that and make a significant move up when you've been at the bottom like Nebraska has been. So, you know, we talk about big games to start off. They need to win their first game at Illinois now, just at a few weeks away in Champaign. Brett Bielema's first game as the Illini head coach, because if they lose, it's going to be a real, real tough situation. Not that Scott Frost is necessarily getting fired, but they feel like they're at a point, guys, where if they don't, you know, put together a 6 or 7 win or 8 win season this year, you just wonder if it's ever going to happen for Scott, because it's so hard to move up in the division with such great consistency of leadership like you're having at Iowa, Wisconsin, Northwestern.
And I wanted to get your opinion on a discussion Scott and I had yesterday, as a result of the announcement that Notre Dame and Toledo will be shown on Peacock, the NBC platform, obviously. How far is these subscription service games going to go in college football? We do know, you know, the Longhorn and Cyclone networks are out there, but is this going to be a trend or something temporary?
No, it's absolutely a trend. I mean, that's why I caught myself earlier, guys, when you're asking me about realignment, you know, because 10 years ago, we were talking about cable markets. That's why the Big Ten added Rutgers and Maryland. You know, that's not the factor anymore. It's the streaming service. It's direct to consumer. You know, why we've at my company built up ESPN Plus so much and have so many events on ESPN Plus. This is where it's heading. And so, you know, just getting back to realignment, if you don't add value with this type of service, there's no need for a league to add you. And obviously Notre Dame does. And that's why they're able to go forward with what they're doing in the opener on Peacock. And I would expect much, much more of this in the next 5 or 10 years. This is what media rights agreements are going to be like heading forward. And so it's going to be really interesting to see the response, because it's new. You know, all of us are used to just turning on NBC on a Saturday when the Irish are at home and watching them on NBC. And now you're going to have to go through Peacock and pay some money. But this is the way it's going, and it's not going to go the other way anytime soon.
No, I would very much agree with that. For the Big 12, you mentioned Iowa State, Oklahoma with Rattler and everybody they got back, including what some people think are going to be a very much improved defense with all the starters back in Norman. But how about, is there a third dance partner as far as the Big 12 is concerned with Iowa State and Oklahoma, and who might that be?
Yeah, I think it's a really interesting question, Scott. I think you can go in a number of different directions, because I think Oklahoma State's sort of the default. They've been a consistent top 25 team. You know, they bring back their quarterback and Spencer Sanders and a number of running backs, and they should be able to score the ball, and they made some improvement on defense. But I also would throw out two other teams. I think TCU is a real threat. They feel like they're going to be really good with Max Duggan returning at quarterback. And I think West Virginia, you know, Neil Brown has been a really good offensive coach everywhere he's been. I know they were more of a defensive-oriented team last year, and they did lose some key guys on defense, but they can run the ball, and if they can get better play out of their quarterback, I think West Virginia – could certainly take a step forward. So I do think that, and again, I didn't mention Texas. You know, there's always a possibility, with Steve Sarkisian there and getting their quarterback play to another level. I still think they have a ways to go defensively at Texas, but you guys know just as I do, they have talent. They've recruited well over the years, and so maybe they're also in that group. But I would look first at Oklahoma State, as well as TCU, West Virginia, and throw in Texas as well, is whether someone could join those top two.
Do you have a dark horse college football playoff contender, Adam?
You could certainly throw out a team like Penn State from the Big Ten. I could see them bouncing back, especially if they get better quarterback play out of Sean Clifford. Oregon's won a couple of Pac-12 titles in a row. Do they need to beat Ohio State on the road in week two to truly solidify themselves as a playoff contender? Because, in the Pac-12, it's very hard to go undefeated. You rarely see a Pac-12 champion run the table. I throw in USC as well. USC, certainly can score the ball. I think they improved defensively last year. But they feel a little bit like a long shot. Texas A&M, they finished fourth last year. They get Alabama at home. They've recruited really well. And they feel like they're going to have their best team. So, beyond that, I think it's more, kind of fantasy world to try to create candidacy for certain teams, because I have a hard time believing that one of the top five this year, which, depending on your order, is Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State, Oklahoma, and Georgia. I have a hard time believing one of those teams won't win a national title.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you right there indeed. Well, it's all going to get started in a few weeks. Camp's just getting underway. Adam, always a great time of the year, and I know you guys, you in particular at ESPN, will be all over it. Always appreciate you coming on with us, and we'll talk again soon.
All right, guys. Appreciate you having me on. Thanks so much.
All right. Adam Rittenberg, senior college football writer for ESPN, joining us here at 3:52. We've got our final four-pack of tickets to the Verizon 200 at the Brickyard coming up for you on the road course at Indianapolis. New this year. You can say you were at the very first one. And you can do that by answering our trivia question and being caller number 6, 319-366-1600. That's 319-366-1600. And our question today is this. Which driver, after a victory in the Brickyard 400, created the tradition of kissing the bricks? Which driver, after winning the Brickyard 400, created the tradition of kissing the bricks? 319-366-1600. Caller 6, you'll get first crack at answering our trivia question for the four-pack of tickets to see NASCAR racing in Indianapolis. Back with the winner and the answer coming up.
Your kids grow up in the blink of an eye. Before you know it, your tiny baby has turned into a fearless toddler. Then soon that fearless toddler is a 5-year-old ready for kindergarten. And before long, they're off. Well, you don't want to think about that yet. Give your kids the best start possible by getting healthy food, nutrition counseling, breastfeeding support, and more from WIC. Learn more at idph.iowa.gov/WIC. Healthy starts here.
So then I dropped some garlic and croutons on there, and the rest is salad history. I made the best salad ever, people, and now I'm making the best app. The Caesars Sportsbook app got live in-game betting, parlays, and Caesar rewards. Caesar salad ain't got nothing on my app. Nothing!
Must be 21. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Download the Caesars Sportsbook app. Your app is ready, Emperor.
Okay, let's play a little game. How many pairs of footwear do you think Skechers have sold? 100 million? 200 million? 500 million? Not even close, Shunak the Magnificent. Over 2 billion with a capital B. Why? Because so many people worldwide have discovered that with every pair of Skechers, comfort is included. So once they try them on, they fall in love with the comfort. Then they get another pair, and another, and another. And how do Skechers include comfort in every pair? By being a comfort technology company and putting comfort innovations in every nook and cranny of their footwear. With features like air-cooled memory foam, hyper-burst foam, breathable knits, ultra-go cushioning, and more. And comfortable fits like relax fit, stretch fit, wide fit, seamless fit, arch fit with expert certified arch support, just to name a few. So if you're looking for stylish footwear that doesn't cost a fortune and feels like $1 million, get yourself a pair of Skechers. Because no matter what pair you choose, you can be guaranteed of one thing. They'll be comfortable right out of the box. Find them at Skechers.com, a Skechers store, or wherever stylish footwear is sold.
Congratulations to Al from Atkins. He is the winner of our final four-pack of tickets to see NASCAR racing at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, the Verizon 200 at the Brickyard, a week from Sunday. It's a doubleheader weekend, the IndyCar race on the 14th, and what used to be the Brickyard 400, Mark. And do you know the answer to our trivia question today?
I do not know the answer. All I know is kissing bricks probably isn't very... It probably doesn't taste real good, but...
Oh, it does does not.
I have a feeling. I don't know who it is. I have a feeling this happened several years ago, probably with someone who is not active anymore.
Correct. Incorrect.
Oh!
What? You Well, no, yeah. You didn't say the name, though.
I can't put a finger on it, but I think it probably happened... A couple decades ago, probably.
Yep, it did. Dale Jarrett.
Okay.
Dale Jarrett was the first to kiss the bricks. The actual idea came from his crew chief, Todd Parrott, as they were kind of kicking it around before the race and said, you know what, hey, if you win, why don't you kiss the bricks? Which is the most famous of the NASCAR. It's the famous tradition is that NASCAR has brought. As far as the Indianapolis Motor Speedway is concerned, by far, and it's transformed itself into the IndyCar ranks as well with that, and just a neat tradition. But first one to do it was Dale Jarrett. So,
well, what would you kiss at Daytona or Talladega?
I don't know. The catch fence, the air for not. You know, going into the air, hard to tell what you would do with that. But anyway, yeah, so congratulations to Al. Tomorrow, unless there's Mother Nature intervening, you will be solo. We are going to have a replay of our interview with the terrific college football man, Phil Steele. In case you missed that, we're going to replay that again for you coming up tomorrow. Correct, Mark?
Yeah, an encore presentation, so to speak. Phil is very popular. We thought we would offer that again to folks. We'll also talk some about, unless news of the day intervenes, a big weekend for Duke Slater and Alex Karras, former Iowa football players who are going to be inducted into the Hall of Fame on Saturday. And maybe a little bit about the Field of Dreams games, game coming up next week. And the astronomical ticket prices.
Throwback uniforms, they debuted today, or at least presented today.
Makes sense.
Yeah, why not? For both the Yankees and the White Sox. White Sox with the big S with the O on the top of the S, X on the bottom. Kind of figured those would be the ones. The shoeless Joe Jackson era White Sox. Yankees, not much different from now, but just a little bit older looking. So, yeah. Have fun with the football, everybody, tonight. Pittsburgh and Dallas, 6:30 tonight, 1600 AM, 102.3, 106.3 FM, 107.5 FM. It'll be the Astros and the Twins coming up this evening, and that will be on the Jim OT for all of your entertainment. So, all right, Mark, have a very, very good night, and if we don't talk to you tomorrow, we'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good. I will talk tomorrow. Maybe not, Scott. Maybe. We'll see.
Todd and Alex, coming your way next right here on KGYM. Thanks for listening, and the show comes back tomorrow at 3.
At Shell, we know from the time you get up to the time you wrap up,
goodnight.
There's a lot of meetups,
hey,
eat-ups, and hurry-ups. So come to Shell and get three things done at once.